Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
And joining us in the studio for the second half of the show today is Melissa Marstead, and she's a Park City local. And she's also an author, and she's been writing children's books that focus on national parks, environmental issues, native wildlife, that are kind of designed to help people engage with those topics. So, Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with this. What was your motivation for starting this series of books?
Well, it's kind of interesting to follow Brian, so it's a perfect segue.
Yeah.
In a bizarre way, because in November 08, which was late in the season for a wildfire, very
November.
Late. It's November. I lost my house in a wildfire. We had actually turned off our sprinkling system because we had had a little bit of rain a couple weeks before. So I evacuated from a fire.
And this is where?
In Santa Barbara.
Okay.
Where a year ago there was a debris flow in a similar area where there was the biggest, the Thomas fire a year ago.
Yeah.
And 21 people lost their life in a debris flow. So when I'm listening to Brian, I know
friends.
I totally get it.
It resonates with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I've actually written a couple editorials for the Park Record about being prepared for wildfires. Because I'm just very aware of how quickly they can come and what I had to go through. And right after the fire, a friend of mine, just a random friend, said, if you could do anything to start your life over, what would you do? And I was in the midst of publishing a children's book. I had gone to Peru and ran a marathon along the Inca Trail. And I wrote
as one does.
Why?
And I wrote a children's book. Based on the hero's journey, which fascinates me, and a little boy who had gotten lost along the Inca Trail. And another bizarre story is that I had six of the illustrations done by a friend I had met. He lost his house in the same fire, lost all of his art, lost the illustrations. Oh. But we had six to start. So exactly a year after the fire, December 2009, I came out with my first children's book, Pablito and the Speckled Bear, in hardcover. And I was fortunate to be able to use the fire insurance money to publish it.
Oh, my gosh.
But wow. I did 100 hardcover books that cost quite a bit of money. And then March 2010, the iPad came out. And so, you know, I was aware of the printed book and thought, well, iPad, so why don't we have books on as ebooks and save paper.
Sure.
You know, so I was thinking, let's do that. So for 3 years I focused on publishing other authors' books as ebooks. I went through 7 or 8 moves in a 4-year period. In July 2012 I was here in Park City, and I've been a long distance runner my whole life and was on an amazing run, a mid mountain trail. It was just, you know, this month, 2012. And within 3 days, I made an offer to buy a house because the fire insurance was just coming through 4 years later.
Wow.
It took that long. Your house burned down.
We got some money.
But it took 4 years for the majority of it to get processed?
The payment allowed me to buy a house.
Okay.
Took four years.
And so you put a down payment here,
mm-hmm.
on a home.
Yes.
Here.
Yes.
How about that? And then you also talked about some inspiration from running a race here, a 50K race.
Okay, so that goes. So when I moved here in November 2012, I filed the LLC for Lucky Penny, now Publications, and I was mainly publishing other people's books. I've been a writer my whole life,
right.
But with the fire, I kind of went into writers. You know, I just had a writer's block.
Yeah, and okay.
And so then in September 2015, I turned 50 and became an empty nester. And some friends said, "Well, you've been a runner your whole life. How about a 50K?" So I went to Oregon and ran
Again,
my first
why
one.
Not?
That was. Pretty grueling along the Oregon coast. Came back to Park City and found out about Antelope Island in November. And I just went by myself. I went and ran it. And during that race, I came up with the idea for the National Park books.
Okay. So what are these National Park books? Let's talk about what do they cover?
So originally it was just one book. I'm like, okay, it's 100th anniversary of the National Park Service in 2016. Mm-hmm. I live in Utah. There are 5 national parks, and we're the Beehive State. And so the idea just started flowing. So it became Buzzy the Bee, became the narrator for the book mm-hmm. that went through the 5 national parks, going from Arches, Canyonlands, Capitol Reef, Bryce, and Zion. And then we talk about the geology, the hoodoos, buttes, and the various animals we have in our state. And then I had so much fun writing that, and I came from California, so I went immediately to the 9 national parks in California, use the state bird of California, the quail, mm-hmm. for the narrator. And then it just kept going from there.
Right.
Now there's a total of 7 or 6 with...
4 are completely done.
Okay.
Number 5, which I've been working on for a while, which might particularly interest your listeners, it's about pikas and climate change. So... Right.
So for those that don't know, tell us what a pika is and kind of where they live.
So we do have them here in Utah, and I've seen them on the trails near Blood Lake up mm-hmm. in Guardsman Pass. You can find them in the rock fields. Mm-hmm. They like to live in the rock, and they are not nocturnal, and they're related to rabbits, actually. And they're almost look like a little bit bigger than a hamster or guinea pig. They're very cute.
They're very sure. fuzzy and, yeah, sure.
But they're particularly sensitive to climate change, and the National Park Service and a group out of Denver, Rocky Mountain Wild, study the effects of temperature on pikas.
So this story is told through the eyes of a pika?
Well, actually, it's told through a meadowlark. Goes from park to park because we go from Lassen Volcanic, a northern park in California, to Crater Lake, the only national park in Oregon, to Glacier, where we talk about the receding glaciers.
Right.
In Crater Lake, we actually focus on the wildfires and what the temperatures do. And then from Glacier to Grand Tetons and the effects of climate change on the Snake River. And then we end in Rocky Mountain National Park, and it's the pine beetles and what they're doing to the forest in Rocky Mountain National Park.
So how do you take on all of these issues and topics at a level that's appropriate for kids? You know, these are big, complicated things, issues.
Well, I actually was in Oregon last summer and how do I make climate change accessible to our age group, which is 3 to 8-year-olds? And there are fires going on in Oregon. And I just said to myself, we're going to do it through illustrations.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's one illustration per park that focuses on an element having to do with the temperature fluctuations we're seeing. And so we have a wildfire scene. We have a receding glaciers. And then it's just 1 or 2 simple sentences.
Mm. Okay. Well, you have some books here with you. What is the latest book you prepared?
The newest one that's come out. I was actually did a 4-day trip up to South Dakota, and people in our area may not believe how accessible South Dakota is. I did a 4-day trip, went through Wyoming, 2 days in South Dakota, saw the 2 national parks, national monuments, hiked the highest peak in South Dakota, and then found out about the black-footed ferret, which is an endangered species.
Mm-hmm.
So number 4 of the National Park series focuses on the theme of endangered species and introduces children to endangered species.
Okay. And again, if you just joined us, we're speaking with Melissa Marstead. She's a writer, author, owner of Lucky Penny Publishing, correct? Here in Park City?
Yes.
Okay. Real quick, do you have a website?
I do. It's actually Lucky Penny Publications.
Lucky Penny,
Yes.
.com?
Yep.
Okay, luckypennypublications.com. We'll repeat that at the end,
Thank you.
But, so, how many more national parks do you have, by the way? Do you have the plan to just continue east?
Well, it was funny because actually I grew up in Connecticut. So yeah. We have Acadia in the works. I have one illustration. And
nice.
I was in Acadia 2 summers ago. What I do is I run through the park and happen to have my younger son with me. And so we spent the day creating the journey for the book. So
he's helped.
He's helped. He's both helped. My boys have helped.
Co-authors.
Not just support and encouragement.
I know, but inspiration or insight.
Right.
You know, a child's view, looking at the same world you're looking
well,
at through a child's
lens. Well, they're 21 and 24,
thank you for reading that, Melissa.
It was a nice thought, Chris, a good sentiment.
Okay,
it's still a family affair.
Yes, thank you very much now. But the point is you have other parks in mind and other books and other stories to tell, as well as a warming world impacts these parks in different ways.
Right, and since the first one, if I were to go back to Buzzy and the Red Rock Canyons, I would put more of an element on what's happening to the bees. Since the first two, number three, each one now has kind of a more nature message. What is something that's going on in nature to have kids and families think about? So I might have to go back and
yeah.
rewrite
and do a revision
at some point.
And Utah is such an awesome state to highlight the native bees in. We have hundreds of species, some of which aren't found anywhere else. It's kind of a special topic. I like that you chose a bee to represent us. So you have a couple more books that haven't been published yet, but that you anticipate will come out in the next few years.
Oh, correct. It's almost, well, I have the journey for that goes along with each book. We're actually working on another one on the sage grouse in southern Utah, so we can talk about Bear's Ears, Escalante.
Oh, wow.
And we actually have a title for that one, which is Sadie's Search for Truth and Beauty in the Desert Southwest. So
love
the beauty
that.
Of nature and the truth behind the antiquities that are down there, and so that we need to be more aware of preserving
and
what's
Sadie's
been left.
And what is Sadie?
A sage grouse.
A sage grouse, okay. All right, so that's in the works. I'll tell you what, Melissa, when you get to the Florida National Everglades, you reach out to me because I spent time there and I got some stories to tell you about.
Chris has some journeys from...
That's actually, it's so funny because that's in manatees and alligators, and I've actually researched
a little bit. Invasive species. I mean, there's a lot of stories that you can cover and present to children about the impacts man has on that piece of land. And from man's invasive species to rising sea levels, there's a whole... just get in touch with me, please. So... All right. Well, we gotta wrap up.
Well, yeah. And so, of course, we want to talk with you about where can we find these books locally and online.
Well, of course, Water Preserve.
That gift shop. That? Excellent gift shop, if I may say so myself.
And then we actually have them at the market, Jan's, White Pine Touring, and numerous other places
throughout town.
And maybe the library?
They're at all four the four libraries in
Park
our
City
county.
Library, Summit County Library, et cetera. Okay, good. Great. Well, you know, again, your website?
It's luckypennypublications.com.
Okay, to learn more about you and your books, your other books under that, you know, that fall under
and
the rubric
books,
of your publishing company, et cetera.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's great. It's a great story. Great and fabulous source of inspiration that you had. Nature, in some ways, was your inspiration, you know, maybe in not such a positive way, but it
changed. In a very
positive
way.
Well, okay. Yeah. You're right.
Very
You're
healing.
Right. Fire.
For sure.
Fire. Okay.
Thank you
so
much.
So thank you so much for joining us again, and we'll stay in touch as your other books come out.
Thanks.
All right. Let's